Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Ayin Aleph. Elisha left off three lines from the bottom of daf Ayin Amud Beis. Yesterday, Ochel Kol Machol Velo Ochel Basar. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and Aaron, his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. It's also sponsored by the Klein family for Refuah Shleimah for Esther Rachel Basim Aliba, as well as by Avishai Newman in honor of the yard site of his father, Chaim Naftali ben Rav Yaakov Shlomo. His yard site is Friday, the Neshama Shav Aliyah. And it's also sponsored by the Shark Tank podcast, a podcast about the challenges and opportunities of being a Ben Torah in the workforce. It is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other platforms, and it's a great listen, so everyone's encouraged to give it a listen. So today what we're going to discuss is the following. First, we're going to talk about whether it's specifically meat and wine that the Ben Sora Mora has to eat in order to become a Ben Sora Mora. Then the first Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about who he has to steal from and where he has to eat the food that he is stealing. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how it's possible to even have a shita that he has to also steal from his mother if his mother is married to his father. How does his mother have anything? Then the next Mishnah is going to discuss how both parents have to want to prosecute him in order for him to be a Ben Sora Mora. And Rabbi Yehuda says that they also need to be appropriate for each other, which the Gemara is going to elaborate on what that means, that they're appropriate for one another. Then the Gemara is going to tell us three halachos that may have never materialized. The first one being a Ben Sora Mora, because the qualifications make it that it's pretty much impossible that it would ever happen. Then the next Mishnah is going to talk about the parents' physical requirements for their child to be a Ben Sora Mora, that they cannot be disabled, and the process also through which we begin to become a Ben Sora Mora, that it doesn't go straight to bringing him to the Sanhedrin and having him executed. There are earlier steps in the process that need to happen. Then the Mishnah Amud Beis is going to talk about what happens if he runs away, and then before we catch him, he already matures. He's already past the age where he's eligible to be Ben Sora Mora. So is there anything we could do with him at that point? The Gemara is going to quote a chiddush from Rabbi Chanina about a non-Jew who commits a crime and then converts to Judaism. So how do we deal with the crime that he had previously committed as a non-Jew? So Rabbi Chanina is going to have a chiddush that he's pater, and the whole Amud Beis is going to be dedicated up until the Mishnah to try to figure out whether Rabbi Chanina's chiddush is correct. We're going to have four different rayas, for, against, you know, whether to figure out whether Rabbi Chanina's chiddush is correct. So let's begin three lines from the end of the page on Daf Ayin Amud Beis. Achol kol mach v'lo achol basar, shos kol mach mashke v'lo shos yayin. We said if he eats anything but meat, drinks anything but wine, then he's not a Ben Sora Rumor. It needs to be meat and wine specifically. Achol mach v'lo achol basar la suye devele ki ilis. What else would I have had a havamina that had eaten, he'd be a Ben Sora Mora? So it's Dveila Ki'ilis. It's made from a fig that grew in a place called Ki'ila, which apparently is intoxicating. So even though it's intoxicating, he does not become a Ben Sora Mora. Shas kol mashka v'lo shas yayin l'suye Dvash v'chalav. That includes Dvash v'chalav, which also apparently are intoxicating. And even so, he does not become Ben Sora Mora, because apparently, even though they're intoxicating, they're not addictive. Right, Rashi writes, that it's important that these things be, that what he eats and drinks has to be something that's addictive, because the whole point is, Nidon al Shem Sofo, that he's heading down a road that he's not going to be able to get off. So even though these things are intoxicating, they're not addictive. But how do I know that they are in fact intoxicating? Titania. Brisa teaches us, if a guy eats these things or drinks these things and then goes into the Beis HaMikdash and does Avoda, Chayiv, he's Chayiv Malkus, because it's considered to be that he did the Avoda when he was intoxicated, when he was drunk. So you see that these things are in fact intoxicating. This is a Sugya in Krisus Daf Yud Gimel, where it says the very same Brisa, except instead of the word Chayiv, it says Loka over there. So he's Chayiv. When we say Chayiv, it means that he's Chayiv Malkus. Rashi points out that the Gemara in Krisos Daf Yud Gimel says that this is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks you're chayiv al shar mashkim in the Mikdash as well. And it's just that when you're shasa yayin, the chayiv is misa b'day shamayim. But when you're shasa shar mashkim, you're chayiv malchus. So a person has a few shots of scotch or something before he goes into the base of Mikdash, and then he goes into the base of Mikdash, chayiv malchus. If he has wine, then he's chayiv misa b'day shamayim. Then it's an elevated level of chayiv. Tosos in Krisos Daf Yud Gimel says that it's dafka if the Kohen goes in and is Ovid Avoda that he's going to be Chayiv Malkus. But if he just walks in, that alone is not going to be Chayiv Malkus. And Tosos quotes that it's a Bryson Torah's Kohanim on Parsha Shmini that says this way Beferish. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Bias Migdash Paragal of Halacha Tesvav disagrees. And he says even if he did not do the Avoda, he just walked in. It's such a disrespect to the place, to be nichnas the mikdash kashum menuval, to walk into, to stumble into the base mikdash drunk, that alone is enough to be mechayiv him. However, the Ravid writes, no, the chiyuv malchus is only if he's shasli b'shas avoda, that it has to be that he does the avoda when he's shasli yayin. So that is the machlokas, Ravid and Tosos on the one hand, and the Rambam on the other hand. So he said, yeah, it has to be meat and wine. If he eats any other food, drinks any other drink, he only becomes ben sarimara when he has dafka these foods and drinks. Zolel the sove. How do I know meat and wine specifically? Because the pasuk uses the terminology of zolel the sove, and that means meat and wine. And even though we don't have an absolute proof that zolel the sove, that being a glutton and and someone who drinks a lot is dafka of meat and wine, it's not, we don't have a clear proof, but zecher l'davar, we have a little bit of a proof, shenemar, because the pasuk says in Mishlei, al tihi b'sove yayin b'zolele basar lamo. So you see, zolel is associated with yayin, sove is associated with basar. V'yomer, and the next pasuk says, ki sove v'zolel yivaresh ukra'im talbish numa, that a person who's a zolel and sove is going to become a rash, he's going to become an ani, and a person who sleeps a lot, and even when he doesn't need to sleep, he's always going to sleep, so he's going to become poor. He's going to end up wearing tattered clothing, which also means he's going to become poor. Amar Rabbi Zeira, once we mentioned that pasuk, so Rabbi Zeira comments, called Yashin Beis HaMedrash, someone who sleeps in the Beis HaMedrash, Tarasa Naslo Karayim Karayim, his Torah is going to be torn into different pieces, meaning he's only going to remember bits and pieces here and there. He's never going to be able to put together the entire sugya in a proper form. Shnemar Ukrayim Talbish Numa. So two drushes from Ukrayim Talbish Numa. One is the Pashup Shad in the Pasuk, that if a person is always sleeping, he's going to be poor, he's not going to be a hard worker, he's never going to be able to make a decent living. And the other, that it relates to learning, that if a person is always sleeping in the Beis Medrash, his learning is going to be in pieces, he's not going to be able to understand the whole sugya. The Ein Yaakov says that just like when you have a tear in a beged, there are ways to mend a tear in the beged, but you'll always see the seam, you'll always see that it was torn, it will never be quite the same. So he says, you know, a person who's always sleeping in the Beis Medrash and misses shir and he misses the limud, so yeah, you can make it up later, I'll listen to Talmidim, I'll listen on Y Torah later, I'll listen to the recording later. His knowledge may be there, but it's going to be in pieces. You're always going to see the seams on the knowledge. It's never going to be exactly the same. Okay, new Mishnah. Gana mishalav v'achol b'rishus aviv, mishal acherim v'achol b'rishus acherim, mishal acherim v'achol b'rishus aviv, ein nasa ben sarumora, that if he steals from his father and eats in his father's property, steals from others and eats in their properties, or steals from others and eats in his father's property, he does not become ben sarumora. Ah, the combination to become ben sarumora is sheyignom mishalaviv v'yochol b'rishus acherim. It has to be that the stealing is from the father and the achil is in someone else's rishus. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah Omer, ad sheyignom mishalaviv u'mishalimo. Not enough to steal from the father, got to steal from both parents. So the Gemara explains, why does it matter who he steals from, where he eats the food, what's this all about? And the Gemara's basic explanation is that in order to be ben sarumora, this needs to be something that we are concerned is going to be repetitive behavior that he's not going to be able to stop. So in order for the behavior to be repetitive, we need two factors to be in place. We need it to be something that he's not going to be afraid of getting caught, because if he's afraid of getting caught, that will be a major deterrent. And we need the availability of the crime. If that crime is not going to be something that's going to be available to him, then we don't have as much of a concern that he's going to keep on repeating it. So that's why we have these qualifications. If he steals from his father and he eats in his father's rishus, so his father's money is always available to him, he's always around the house, but he's afraid that the father's going to catch him as he's eating it. If he steals from others and eats in their rishus, he's not afraid of being caught, because they're not going to be choshed him with stealing. But he's not always going to have access to other people's monies. And certainly if he stole from Acherim and he eats Bereshus Aviv, then he's not a Ben Soramor, because then you have neither factor. The money, it's not going to be available to him, and he's going to be fearful of being caught. But the only way to have the perfect combination is that he steals from his father, so it's money that's always available to him. He's ochel bereshus acherim, so he's not afraid of getting caught, and therefore it's going to be the type of thing, it's going to be the type of behavior that's going to become very repetitive. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda omer ashiyiglo mishal aviv umishal imo. But Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says he's only going to be Ben Soramora when he steals from mom and dad, from both dad and mom. So imo minola, how does mom have anything? Isn't there a halacha that whatever a woman acquires automatically belongs to her husband? So answers the Gemara a couple of possibilities. He steals from food that is designated to be eaten by both the father and mother, and therefore whatever food is designated to be eaten by the mother is considered to be her food. The Adramah raises the question that how do you know that food that's designated to be eaten by the mother belongs to her? After all, it's the father's responsibility to feed the mother. He could replace it with different food. It doesn't become her food until she eats it. So obviously she hasn't eaten it yet, and therefore the Adramah says that since it's designated for their achila, it's considered theirs already. And he brings a raya from a Mishnah in Arach and Daf Chav Dalet that if a person is makdish nechasav, the hegdish is not going to be chal on begadim that are designated for to be worn by his wife and his children, even though they have not yet actually worn it. So you see that designation alone makes it theirs, that it doesn't even though technically he could replace it. No, the fact that this was designated to be her meal, that makes it hers. That's a question in halacha. The poskim discuss. If I'm eating at someone's house and I'm a guest at someone's house and I put food on my plate, who owns that food that's on my plate? So the poskim discuss, right? What with the Mainaf Kamina, who owns the food? Either way, the balabas is allowing me to eat it. What if a young man is sitting right next to a young lady and he thinks, you know, I'm looking for a shidduch. This seems like an appropriate shidduch. So he takes the piece of chicken off his plate. He says across the table, you, two Adim, pay attention. And he turns to the Isha and he says, Hareya Mukadesh Asleib, Chicken Zoo, Kadash Moshe Yisrael. So Mukadesh Asleib, Mukadesh Asleib. Right? Does he own that food or does he not own that food? Is it the Balabas's food to own? So this, the Yad Ramah is saying over here that as soon as food is designated for a person, that is theirs, even though it's provided by somebody else. But wait a second. You can't come up with an akimta and say that the case is that he stole food that was designated for mom, because the halacha is you don't become a Ben Soramor when you steal food. You become a Ben Soramor when you steal money and then buy the food cheaply. Only then someone becomes a Ben Soramor. The Rimi Lunil explains, and the Yad Ramah explains, that basar and yayin are not readily available every day to steal, so it's not going to be something that's habitual. Money's available all the time, and then you could buy basar v'yayin with it, but unless a person is extremely wealthy, they don't have basar and yayin around the house all the time. And the whole point of Ben Soramor is it's got to be a behavior that we're concerned is going to keep on repeating itself. Rimi Lunel also says that money you could steal once and you'll have enough to keep on buying meat and wine. I mean, if you steal enough of it, you'll have enough to buy meat and wine for a long period of time. Whereas if you keep on having to steal meat and wine, it's only as long as it's fresh. So you're not going to be able to steal a month's worth of meat at one shot. And therefore, we're not concerned that it's going to become habitual. Ella Amos says, a different possibility. Midmei suda mechanislav v'limo. Not that you steal the food that's designated for father and mother, but the money that's designated to buy the food that's designated for father and mother. Iba yisema, another possibility of how mom has anything, da'aknila acher, that someone else was makneh her the money. Va'amrlan said, almanash ein lebayil chrushus ben, that if someone gives money to the mother and says, almanash ein lebayil chrushus ben, that works as a kinyan that she's going to have, that the husband has no rights to it. Tosos points out, but that's a machlokas in the Gemara. Tosos points out that in Kiddushin Daf Chav Gimel, there's a machlokas, Rav Sheshes and Rav Lazar, whether it works. According to Rav Sheshes, you could be makna to nisha almanash ein lebayil chrushus ben. According to Rav Lazar, it does not work. So l'chora, our Gemara is going only like Rav Sheshes. So Tosos says, no, you can't ask on Rav Lazar, how does the mother have any money? Because first of all, Rav Lazar could explain, like the first answer of the Gemara, that we're talking about that he stole from the Dmei HaSu'uda, the money designated for the meal for the father and the mother. Furthermore, Rav Lazar could answer that we're talking about that the husband is the one that gave her the money, b'matana, and in the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Nun Aleph, it says that Rav Lazar is moda, that works, that even if someone else cannot give her almanas lebailich shein rishus ben, the husband certainly can give her almanas shein lebailich rishus ben. Curiously, the answer that's not offered is maybe the mother's not married to the father. Who says that they're married to each other? Does it say anywhere that they need to be married to each other? Just that there needs to be a mother and a father. Maybe they're divorced, or maybe he was born out of wedlock. So that's a major kasha, because we're about to see in the next Gemara that it seems pretty clear that they do not have to be married to one another. So next Mishnah, Aviv Rotza V'Imo Eino Rotza, both parents have to want to prosecute the child. If the dad wants to give the kid skila and mom doesn't, or Aviv Eino Rotza V'Imo Rotza, or mom wants and dad doesn't want, Eino Nasim and Sormar Achu Shneim Rotza, they both have to be interested in pursuing this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Imloi Si'imo Ru'uyla Aviv Eino Nasim and Sormar. Rabbi Yehuda adds another qualification, that if mom is not Ra'uy for dad, then they don't become Ben Sormar. So my Eino Ru'uya, what does it mean? She's not ra'uy for him. Ilema, if it means that they're isurei arayos to each other, that this relationship never should have happened. Chayav krisus v'chayav misus beizdin. There are rayos with each other. A guy married his sister or whatever. So the chayav krisus v'chayav misus beizdin. Sof avua nihu v'imayimi nihi. But either way, mom is still mom, dad is still dad. So why should it matter that they're arayos to each other? Whoa, wait a second. Mom is still mom and dad is still dad. But they're not married to each other. There's no tefisas kiddushin on chiv mispeis and chiv krisos. So you see that they don't need to. The Gemara is taking it as a given that they don't need to be actually married to each other. Which again begs the question: why in the previous Gemara didn't it just say that's how mom has the money because they're not really married to each other? It's a strong kasha. I didn't really see much discussion on it. Ella b'shavala aviv ka'amar. So what does it mean that they have to be roy for each other? What does Rabbi Yehuda mean? He means that they have to be physically similar to one another. Tanya nami achi Rabbi Domer Mloisi Imo Shavu Blav Bekol Maru Bekoma Eino Nasim and Sorumara. They have to be similar to each other in their voice, in their look, and in their height. My taima, why do they have to be similar to each other? Damarka, because Pasuk says Einenu Shomea Bikolenu. He doesn't listen to our joint voice. It sounds like it needs to be a singular voice that they both have the same voice. Omi Dekalbin and Shavin. If their voice needs to be the same, well then Marav Kama Nami Bin and Shavin. It stands to reason that they need to look the same and they need to be the same height as well. Stands to reason. Why would you assume that just because they have to have the same voice that they have to have the same height and the same look? So the Tosyantov explains, because we do find one other place where you need two things to be equivalent to one another, and that is in the sixth parak of Yoma when it comes to the Siyel Hashem, Siyel HaZazel. And over there, we don't care what their voices sound like. We're only interested in Marav Koma. So if the only other place in Torah where you need two things to be equal to each other, they need to be Marav Koma. And over here, we see that there's something beyond that there's Kol, so probably it's got to be Marav Koma as well. So Kaman al-Zahad Tanya, who does the following brisa assume like that? Pensor mer lo hayav los of the yos velo minitzav drosh v'kabel schar, that it's something that will never materialize, and the only reason it's in the Torah is so that we can get schar for the learning of the parsha of Pensor mer. The Rabbeinu Bechai writes that the Torah is teaching us the great chiyuv of avas Hashem, because there's no greater ava in the world like a love that a father and mother have for a child, and since the son violates the mitzvah Hashem, they have to overcome that ahava to bring their child entitled to skila. So it shows us, Rabbeinu Bechai writes that the lesson of mitzvah, what's the drosh? What lesson are we supposed to derive from it? He says the lesson that one is supposed to derive from it, aside from whatever other parenting lessons, is that as much as a parent loves their child, Avas Hashem has to supersede all other avos that we have in the world. Baruch Hashem, the way our religion has it set up, is that most of the time it's aligned perfectly, that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live our lives is to express a tremendous amount of Ava for our children, for our parents, for our relatives, and for every Jew. But if there should ever be a conflict between Avas Hashem and the natural avos that one has, so the Rabbeinu Bechai writes that the avas Hashem has to overpower. It's quite a madrega of avas Hashem. But who's the one that says that it could never happen? Keman k'Rabbi Yehuda. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the father and mother have to be shavin b'kol mara v'koma, and that's something that's not possible to ever happen. Tosfos Yeshanim says, why is it not possible? It happens on Yom Kippurim when you have the two Seirim. They're equal. So he says, yeah, because they're animals. It's possible to have in the animal world. It's not possible to have in the human world. The Yerushalmi says that even two Garinei Chita and two Te'enim are never fully the same as each other. It means, somewhat the same as each other. The Bach, however, in Os Aleph over here says, no, I'll tell you why it's not possible. One of the simanim of an islandess is that she has a very deep voice, right? The simanim of a Sris is that he has a very feminine voice. If mom and dad have the same voice, either mom's voice indicates that she's not able to have a child, or dad's voice indicates that he's not able to have a child. So that's what it means that it's not possible. So that's how the Bach explains. Iba yisema, Rabbi Shimon he, or it could be that it's assuming like Rabbi Shimon. D'tanya, Rabbi Shimon v'chimnei shachol zet tartim basav v'shas chatsi lo gayin haitalki yav vivim otzin osol v'saklo. Because he ate a little meat, drank a little wine, the parents are going to go stone him? Elohai of Los Lios. No parents would ever be interested in doing that. It's never going to happen. V'lam v'nichtav, why is it written? Drosh v'kabal schar, so that we can darshan it and be mekabal schar. Am Rabbi Yonason, aniri isav yashavti al kivar. Rabbi Yonason says, I don't know what you're talking about, that such a thing never materialized. I saw it, I sat on the kever of Ben Soramor, the Rishonim of Badr. Rabbi Yonason is a Kohen. How was he allowed to sit on the kever? So al sometimes means besamuch, sometimes it means nearby and not necessarily on, but he says, I saw it happen. And once we're on the topic of things that maybe never materialized, Kemana Zal Tanya, according to whose opinion is the following brisa written? That Irani Dachas Lo Haisa V'lasid Elios, that an Irani Dachas never happened nor will ever happen. V'lama Nichtava Drosh V'kabal Schar, and it's only written so that we could learn something from it. Keman, Ke Rabbi Eliezer, that follows the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Detanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Kol Ir Sheyesh Ba'afilu Mezuzah Achas, Eina Nasas Irani Dachas, that any city that has even one mezuzah in it will never become an Irani Dachas. So what kind of Jewish city doesn't even have a single, is that possible? You have a city in itself, doesn't even have a single mezuzah. Unfortunately, you see sometimes with the rampant secularization of some places in Israel that it is possible that that there would be a city that doesn't have a single mezuzah, and that's our responsibility to make sure that that there be more of a sense of Yiddishkeit throughout the society, that there should never be such a thing, that a city of the Gemara thinks it's unthinkable that you're not going to have a single mezuzah. So, but the truth is, when we went on the tours through the destroyed cities from October 7th, even there, you see the half-fallen sukkah, the one sukkah on the whole kibbutz, you see, there are always some signs of Yiddishkeit. To have a place that doesn't have a single mezuzah, impossible. My time, well, what's the basis for Blazer Wald that a city doesn't have even a single mezuzah? That if it even has a single mezuzah, it cannot become an Irani Dachas. Because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, by the Irani Dachas, Ves kol shlala tikpots al toch rechova v'sarafta v'esh. V'kivin dika mezuzah lo efshar. You have to burn everything in the city, but if there's a mezuzah, you're not allowed to burn it. Tichsiv, because the Pasuk, when it talks about destroying Avodah Zarah, it says you have to burn all the Avodah Zarah, but lo sasun kein Hashem Elokeichem. You're not allowed to do that with the symbols of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So with the mezuzah and with the Shem Hashem, you're not allowed to burn it. So since you're never going to find a city that doesn't have at least one mezuzah, and Rashi points out, or a sefer that has Askaras Hashem, any sefer of Nach that has Shem Hashem in it. I wonder about Megillas Esther. But any Sefer in Nach that has Shem Hashem in it, so since it's never going to happen, so that's why you're never going to have an Irani Dachas, because you cannot burn those things. Torah Chaim says, and what if the city had all the other qualifications of an Irani Dachas, but it had a mezuzah? Shouldn't we say, Asay Docha Lo Sasei? Let the mitzvah Sasei of burning the Irani Dachas be Docha the Lo Sasei of Lo Sasun Ken Lashem Elokechem? Why does the Gemara just naturally assume that Lo Sasun Ken Lashem Elokechem is going to win over the mitzvah Sasei of burning an Irani Dachas? So he answered, the tshuva, he leaves it as a kasha, but the Chuvah's Pri Asada answers that in order to say Asay Docha Lo Sasei, it needs to be Be'idna. The two things need to happen simultaneously. When you burn an Irani Dachas, it takes a while for everything to burn. So could be the mezuzah will burn, and then it's going to be a few hours later that the mitzvah is actually fulfilled. So therefore, you can't do that. You can't have it that you're burning even a single mezuzah, because that burning is going to happen before the Kiyama mitzvah. So the Irani Dachas never happened. Amar Rabbi Yonason, Ani Risiya V'Yashavti Al Tila. Rabbi Yonason says, I don't know what you're talking about. I saw an Irani Dachas. I sat on the ruins of an Irani Dachas. What about the following brisa? Bayis haminuga lo hayav lo asadios, that a house that has tzaras, that's afflicted with tzaras, never was nor ever will be. V'lom anichtav, why is it written? Drosh v'kabel sachar, so that we can learn it and get schar. Kiman, whose shita is that following that has such specific criteria for a bayis haminuga that it's impossible for it to ever happen? Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, that's going like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. D'tanan, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer, the olam ein abayis tamei ad she yera'e kishtei grisin al shtei avanim b'shtei ksalim b'keren zavis. They need a nega the size of two grisin on two different stones in two different walls in a corner of the house. Arko kishnei grisin v'rachbo kagris, where the length of the discoloration is going to be shnei grisin and the width is going to be one gris. The size of a gris is roughly the size of an American penny, we learn from Hilchos Nida. So you need shnei grisin on two different walls. So my time with the Rebbe of Rabbi Shimon, why does Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon say that it needs to be in a keren zavis, it needs to be in a corner of the house where it goes on two different walls? So because ksiv kiros, ezu kir shu kiros, what is a wall that is like two walls? Walls, Havi Omer, Zeh Keren Zavis. That's off in a corner of the house. Tanya, Amr Blazer Rabbi Tzadok, Makom Hayah B'Tchum Aza. There was a place in Tchum Aza, Vayukarun also, Churvisa Sigirta. And they referred to it as the ruins that had a nega. Meaning it used to be that there was a Bayis HaMenuga, that a place that had Saras, and they had to chisel out the stones that had the nega, and they removed them from the house, and that place remained the Churva. So it's a symbol of something that this did happen once. Amr Rabbi Shimon Ish Kvarako, he said, one time I went to Galil, and I saw there was a place that was marked off. And they marked it off because of the Tumah. They said there were Avanim that had Negatzaras there, so they had to mark it off because Avanim that have Negatzaras are Metame Ba'ohel. So they didn't want anyone walking over that area and inadvertently becoming Tame. The first two, I always had this kasha, I don't know what the answer is. The first two, I understand why it's a practicality that they would never have. Happen, that mom and dad can have the same voice and still be able to have children. Practically, it's hard to that you're going to have an Irani Dachas that doesn't have a single mezuzah. Practically hard to. The third one, the whole idea of a Negat Saras anywhere is a miracle. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu could put it here, he could put it there, and he can make it whatever size. I don't understand why the placement of it is something that's so unthinkable. The whole idea is a miraculous phenomena. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Okay, new Mishnah. Hayachamem gidem ochiger oilem osuma ocheresh. If either parent is disabled, either by missing an arm, missing a leg, is unable to speak, is blind, or is deaf, einu nasa ben sorim mar, the child does not become ben sorim mar, shnemar, because the pasuk says, and we dash in each phrase, v'tavsu ba avivi imo, v'lo gidmin, they have to be able to grab him, means they have to have arms, v'otziu osa, and they have to schlep him out, v'lo chigrim, that means they have to be able to walk, v'amru, and they say, so that means v'lo ilmin, that they cannot be mute, b'neinu zeh, they have to be able to point, zeh, to be mar batzba, so v'lo sumin, that means they cannot be blind, einenu shomea b'koleinu, he doesn't listen to our voice, that means that they have to know that he said no when they instructed him otherwise. So v'lo charshin, that means that they cannot be a cherish, they cannot be deaf, otherwise they'll never know if he rejected their musr. So they have to give him asra in front of three people, and he gets malkus at first. Chazer v'kilkel, if he repeats the behavior, then nidon basim v'shoshu, then we bring him to a Sanhedrin of 23 dayanim that's equipped to be dadin and fashos, v'einu niskal ad shiyusham, and he doesn't get ad shiyusham shlosh arishonim, and he does not get skila until the first three people are there, the original three dayanim. Shneemar b'neinu zeh, zeh shalaka b'fneichem. B'neinu zeh teaches the same one that got malchus that you guys saw with your own eyes. So you need those original three dayanim to be part of the process when they go to 23 as well. So Shabina Bina Krakidhsiv, the whole Mishnah seems to be assuming that every detail of the pasuk has to be in place in order for the din to apply. And that's a discussion whether you need Krakidhsiv. So you see that our Mishnah assumes it's a raya to the sheet of Shmuel that we had back on Daf Memei, that Bina Krakidhsiv. So says Marno, Shaini Hacha Tikuli Krayaseirahu, that over here the entire pasuk is extra, and the whole reason the pasuk is written is to teach these halachos. But maybe when there's a pasuk that's not extra, you don't always need kra kedichsiv. Umasim b'fnei shlosha, we said that you have to warn him in front of three people. Lamali betray sagir, shouldn't it be enough to have two edim warn him? Sam rabbi hachikam umasim bo b'fnei shnayim umalkanos b'fnei shlosha. You need to give masra in front of two edim, but the malchus is with three people. Malchus ben sorer mora hechiksiva. Where does it ever say that a ben sorer mora gets malchus? Kid rabbi avo, damar rabbi avo, laman, we learn gzeir shava v'yisru m'v'yisru. It says by motzi shemra that the ziknei yirit the man who spoke evil, who spoke bad of his wife, and who falsely accused her, v'yisru oso. And by Ben Sora Mor, it says v'yisru oso. So just like by Ben Sora means malchus, so too v'yisru by Motzi Shemra means malchus. How do I know the yisru of Ben Sora means malchus, which is really what our question was? V'yisru mi ben. We learned the v'yisru of Ben Sora Mor from the word ben that it says in the parsha Ben Sora Mor. Uben mi ben. And the ben by Ben Sora Mor from the word ben that it says by the chiv malchus, v'yem bin akosa rasha, because it says vayim bin akosa rasha. So basically, we learn from the parsha of Malchus to the parsha of Ben Sora Mora, and then from the parsha of Ben Sora Mora to the parsha of Motzi Shemra, then Motzi Shemra gets Malchus as well. So chazav kilkel nidon basim v'shlosha. If he then continues to commit these crimes, he then goes to a Sanhedrin of 23 judges to judge him. So and we said, how do I know that? Because it says bnei, and we said that it's got that among those 23, you need to have the original three. How do I know that? Because it says bnei nuzeh. And B'nai Nuzet teaches us the same child that you previously saw and gave Malchus to. Well, didn't we already have a different drasha from B'nai Nuzet? Hami Bayilei Zevel Osumin. We already used that to show that the parents need to be able to be Mora Be'etzva, to point to him and say, this is the one, and that's how we know that they cannot be blind. So how can you make two drashas? Say, Im Kain, because if the pasuk was only about the Dayanim, so the Licht of B'nai Nuhu, it could have said B'nai Nuhu, which means the same one that you dealt with before. My b'neinu zeh, why did he use the term zeh? Sham minatarti. Must be to tell me this din that they cannot be sumin either, that they also cannot be blind. The Yad Ramah explains that the Torah could have written b'neinu sorer umora, and not anything. Now that it writes the word zeh, we learn from the mashmos of the word zeh that it's not a suma, but if the Torah only meant to be m'mayit sumin, it could have said b'neinu hu, and from the word hu, we would have been m'mayit sumin, because otherwise, why does the word appear at all? So but now that it was Mishana from the word hu to the word zeh, we learn that you need the same dayanim. Meaning, the way the Yad Ramah understands it is, there doesn't need to be any word over there. So we have two limudim, one from the fact that there's a word that appears in that spot in the Torah, and the second is that it's a strange word. Instead of hu, he uses the word zeh. So that's how we have a double limud. Okay, baruch hachlo numisha, baruch hachlo nigmar dino v'achar kach, hikiv zaken atachton. Let's say the kid steals and eats the meat and the wine or whatever, and he runs away before there's a gemar din, and by the time we catch him, he's already physically mature, he's already past the age where he could become a ben sorer mora, so potter, he's not going to get skila because he's already aged out. But if we already had a gemar din, and then he ran away, and then he physically matured, so chayiv, then he's going to be chayiv skila. And even though at the time that he was chayiv skila, he was not a bar chiyuva, since he had a gemar din, it's as if he's already dead. It's as if he's already a dead man walking, and therefore there's no hesitation to just carry out the execution. Rabbi Chanina ben Noach Shabiruch Shem. Rabbi Chanina says a chiddush, and this is what the rest of the daf is about. This chiddush. Kedish. That if a Ben Noach is Mevarich as Hashem, he curses the name of God, and then he becomes a Ger. I talk about a Beis and didn't do their research, right? Then he becomes a Ger. So Pater, he's Pater from Misa. So Hov, Nishtana Dino, Nishtana Misaso. Since prior to his Gerus, they would Danim and Birch Hashem in front of one Dayan, and one aid would be enough, and he does not require Asra. But now that he's Megayer, if he would do this very same Aver of Birch Hashem, we would need to have 23 Dayanim, we would need two Aidim, we would need Asra, and the Misa changes also, that a Ben Noach and Baruch Hashem is Chayef Sayef, because all Ben Noach, any Misa of Ben Noach is Sayef, and after he converts, it's Megadev is Beskila, so there's no possibility to be done in Besayef, because he's by Yisrael, there is no Chayef Sayef for Birch Hashem, it's Skila, and we can't kill him with Skila, because when he did the Aveira, he was a guy, and that's why he's going to be Potter. So the Gemara says, is Rabbi Chanina right? Name him Messiah. Let's bring proof number one. Baruch Hashem Nigmar Din Vachachi Kivzakin Atachton Potter. We said in our mission that if he runs away before the Gemara Din and then he physically matures, by the time we catch him, he's Potter. My time Allah Mishum Damrin Hol Vishtani Yishtani. Isn't it because of the same type of Svara that Rabbi Chanina said, that since he went through a metamorphosis, we now view him as he is now, but also keep in mind how he was when he committed the crime, and if the two don't match, there's nothing we could do. So says Gemara, lo, Shiny Acha, maybe it's different in our Mishnah. Maybe in our Mishnah, if he were to do these very same crimes as an adult, he wouldn't be Chayv Misa at all. There's no din of Ansar Umar when you're 15 years old and you eat some meat and drink some wine. Whereas by the case of Biruches Hashem, he's Chayv Misa either way. It's just a matter of which Misa. So says Mar Tashma, let's bring another Raya, but this Raya is going to be against Rabbi Chanina. And the Mishnah went on to say, that if he ran away after the Gemar Din and then he physically matured, even though he went through this change, we ignore the change and we give him what he deserved. So don't you see that we ignore the changes and we give the person what he deserves? So too we should ignore the Gerus and give him his original Misa? So says no, Nigmar Dino Kamer, Nigmar Dino Kafa Ketilu. You can't talk about Nigmar Dino. Nigmar Dino, he's already a dead man, so there's nothing to discuss anymore. So Tashema says, well, I'll bring you Raya number three. Ben Noach Shika es Chavero. Ben Noach kills somebody. Ubal Esh es Chavero. Or he's Boal and Esh es Ish. Vin is Gayer. And then he converts to Judaism. Again, Bezin didn't do the research. Potter. He's Potter from Misa. So Asa can be Israel. If when he was a guy, he committed these crimes against a Jewish person, he killed a Jewish person, or he's Boal, wife of a Jewish man, Vinis Gair, and then he converted, Chayiv. He's going to be Chayiv Misa. Vamai, why if he did this to a Jewish person, is he going to be Chayiv? Neimahol Vishtani Ishtani. Shouldn't we say that since his din changed, because you need Eidim Vasra, now had he been a Jew the whole time, and you don't need Eidim, and you need based on 23 judges, etc., and you didn't need any of that when he was a guy, so we say Ishtani, so the Chayiv Misa changes is going to be Pater. So Dino Umisa Sabina. No, in order to Pater him, it needs to be that not only the process of the court case has to have changed, but also the type of Misa he's going to get has to change. Vahai, and someone who kills a Jewish person or sleeps with a Jewish man's wife, as a guy, Dino Ishtani, when he converts, his din, the whole process would change. He would now, previously he didn't require Edom and Asra and 23 judges. Now he needs all those things, but Misasalo Ishtani, but the type of Misa is going to be exactly the same because he'd be Chayiv the same Misa. So says Gemara, well, Bishlam Rotzeach, may a saif, a hash a saif. That's true by a rotzeach. It's saif either way. Ela ish a sish, but by an ish a sish, is that true? May yikar a saif, a hash a chenek. Originally, when he was a guy, he'd be chayiv saif for sleeping with the nation of Israel. Now, if he were to sleep with the nation of Israel, he'd be chayiv chenek. So it says, Mar benarim rasa di divi di beskila. No, the case is that it was narim rasa. If a guy sleeps with the nara hamur resas le Yisrael, he's going to be chayiv skila because there is no such thing in the non-Jewish world called the narim rasa. So he gets the Jewish chi of Misa. So too, when a Jew does the same things also. Vasa can be sold. Dume de ishas chaveru katani. So Gemara says, how could you say the Brisa is talking about that he's Boal and Narim Rasa? It says, ha'asa can be Yisrael. Had he done the very same crime to a Jewish person that he had committed to a non-Jewish person? There's no possibility of Narim Rasa to a non-Jewish person. Ela kala b'chamura meshach shaycha. Now we have to say that a more chamer dika Misa is included in the Misa Akala, that a Ben Noach that's Boal in Eishas Ish Yisrael is Chayiv Sayiv. If he's Boal in Eishas Ish after he's Megayer, he would be Chayiv Chenek, which is a lesser Misa. So the misa that's more chamer that he's chayiv when he was a guy includes the misa akala that he's chayiv right now. So it could be that when he was a guy, he was ra'oi for the misa of chenek as well, and more. And now he's ra'oi for the misa of chenek, so we could at least give him chenek. But in Baruch Hashem, after he's megayer, he gets a more chamer tikka skila, a more chamer tikka misa. He gets skila. When he was a guy, he would have only been sayif, which is kal, so he wouldn't be shayich to the misa of skila. So that's considered a real shinoi. So it says Gemara, hanich l'rabban dar misayif chamer. That chesed works if sayif is more chamer. The Rabbi Shimon damer chenek chamer ma'ikel lemeimar. So Rabbi Shimon saw the katan of the bein nashu damer kol misa amur lebnei noach ena el chenek. He assumes that there's always chenek. Well, now the Rotzeach case doesn't work because it used to be Chenek and now it's Saif. So Kalib B'chamura Meshach Shaycha. So we assume a Kalib B'chamura is Shaykh to each other. Lema Masayeh, lay final proof to Rabbi Chanina. Sarcha, if a woman was, Naram Rasa was Mezana, Vacharkach Bagra, and then she became Bogeras, Tidon B'chenek, she gets Chenek. So the Gemara explains, B'skila my time alone, Lav Mishum Dol Vishtani Ishtani. Why doesn't she get skila? Isn't it because she went through this physical change, and when things change, everything changes? And certainly over here by Ben Noach, that's Mevarech Es Hashem and his Megayer, Tishtani Legamri, where he's gone through an entire change, that his din changed and his misa changed. So the Gemara rejects this, right? Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Latana, Tani Tidon B'skila, that you should be goris in the Brisa, that even though she physically changed, her misa remains the same, and she's still going to get skila, so you don't have any raya to Rabbi Chanina. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Ayin Aleph and Beis. Everyone have a great day.